Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Glad you're inside the jungle with us on a fine Tuesday. DA with you. Usually you can catch me right before Jim comes on the air on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. And thanks so much for checking us out on TV, the simulcast going on in sparkling HD on the CBS Sports Network. Coming up this hour on the show, the Cowboys can't stop being the Cowboys. That's in about 15 minutes from now. And B.J. Armstrong, three-time world champion, NBA Finals champ of the 90s Bulls, also a former Warrior himself. B.J. will join us to lend a little perspective on Jordan's Bulls, the 90s, LeBron, the offseason, and the dynasty of the Warriors coming up at 40 minutes past the hour. Hit us up on the phones, clones, in the New York City studios at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Also, you can get at me on Twitter, DA on CBS. AC tweeting, DA, the way KD and LeBron left their respective teams is no different. Both went to better teams, one silently, the other bragging. The silent one just got more out of his team. Well, I would respectfully disagree, and here's why. Kevin Durant and LeBron James both earned the right to leave. You cannot begrudge them that. They had put in their service time. They didn't force a trade like Kyrie Irving. They were under contract and said, when the clock expires, I have a choice to make. And they both left. But Kevin Durant joined a team that had already won a championship without him and had just won 73 games without him. Far more of a gravy train situation than LeBron, who joined forces with a group of guys that had never won together. I mean, before LeBron and Chris Bosh showed up, the Miami Heat, even with Dwayne Wade, were barely a playoff team. They had won a championship 5 years earlier, but that was a totally different iteration of the Heat with Shaq and company. They went to do something they had never done before. Durant joined a ready-made team. Now, they both joined a squad to win titles and did so. Don't get me wrong. I get that. But I think it is wildly different. And I also think that you cannot compare what, quote-unquote, Kevin Durant has gotten out of the Warriors versus what LeBron has gotten out of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look, here's the simple fact of the matter. If you put LeBron on the Warriors following the 2016 NBA Finals, the Warriors wouldn't lose a game. If it wasn't Kevin Durant, it was LeBron instead joining Steph and Klay and Draymond, what that Warriors team would do? You think there's no drama now? Would they win 80 games? If you added LeBron instead of Kevin Durant? Come on. Kevin Durant has been great in two NBA Finals, but all of those guys get to coast at times. Steph gets to coast. He's injured. KD gets to coast. Draymond gets to show up every couple of games and hit a big shot or grab a big rebound. Klay Thompson gets to have one game a series where he goes off. LeBron's got to do it every single night. Flip anybody on the Warriors into LeBron's shoes in Cleveland, there's no way they make the NBA Finals. I'm sorry, I got a lot of respect for Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant cannot drag that carcass of a roster to the NBA Finals the way that LeBron just did. But here's what's amazing to me. If the Warriors just this offseason load up yet again, re-sign Kevin Durant, they've got Draymond and Klay under contract. Klay comes up a year from now, Draymond 2 years from now. Bob Myers and ownership have talked openly about trying to get those two guys to buy in this offseason so that there is no ticking clock on Klay or Draymond over the next 1 or 2 years. If they get all these guys to buy in somehow, push their egos aside, not take the supermaxes, and figure out a way to want to remain together out of winning, you got to give them credit because then they're not just chasing dollars. But would it not be an amazing angle and flip on LeBron's career if LeBron suddenly becomes the hero we need to destroy the Warriors' evil empire? Because so many people hate LeBron for his decision 8 years ago. And look, it was crass. It was insensitive. It came off really poorly. Don't get me wrong. But those that hate LeBron for winning or for whining or for whatever, imagine we need him this offseason to break this monopoly. Imagine he goes to L.A. with the Lakers and maybe Paul George, or maybe he drags Chris Paul there. And with a young team that had not won anything yet, had not even made the playoffs yet, imagine LeBron rides into the White Horse and is the feel-good underdog story with a youthful team that feels full of life and energy, and the entire country is rooting for them to upset the powers in the West, including the Warriors? What a crazy twist that would be on LeBron's career, where it's always felt like he's been the bully. Or at least since he left Cleveland, he stacked the deck for himself. Look, the simple fact is we need some team to break this jaws of life monopoly that the Warriors have on dominance. Even if it just means a competitive NBA Finals. Maybe that's the Celtics. Maybe that's the Rockets. Maybe there's a different team, but I doubt it. Maybe we need LeBron to become the little engine that could. See, here's the thing. By year four this year in Cleveland, yeah, he was doing the impossible. That team had no business in the NBA Finals, no business on the floor with that Warriors team. But it didn't feel fresh and new. We had seen this play out before, and that's not a young, spry, exciting, youthful, energetic team. That's an old team dragging its tail through its fourth NBA Finals. How different would it be if LeBron goes to Philadelphia? And suddenly, he's the catalyst with Simmons and with Embiid and with Fultz to elevate that team from a second-round playoff team to a champion. It would feel totally different. Maybe that is the capstone on LeBron's career. He goes from being the bully and the villain with the great roster, the great team, to the underdog that did something that we need. Take down the Death Star. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Here in our New York City studios, 855-212-4CBS. Sven's next up. He's in Nashville listening to CBS Sports Radio and watching at CBS Sports Network. What's up, Sven?
Hey, thanks, DA, for the line. Love the show. I've been on for a little while, so you had a take earlier about how Kevin Durant was the best player on the Warriors team. And, well, I guess I kind of get what you're saying. I think it's a little crazy to say that because they did beat Durant and came back from a 3-1 deficit when Durant had help even from Westbrook just a couple years earlier. So I think Durant definitely needs the Warriors more than the Warriors need Durant. My second point that I'd make that I came up with while I was sitting here was that I think it's interesting, and one of the problems with the NBA right now is that if you're a small market team, you're really essentially non-existent. I think, for example, if the Utah Jazz had the same roster and were named the Los Angeles Lakers, that would be a top destination for LeBron. Wanted to get your thoughts. Thanks for the line.
You got it, man. I agree with that second point. I think that free agents do look for media markets, look for attention, look for glitz and glamour. Look, it's way better than it was 20 years ago. Because of the internet, because of social media, you can be a star in New Orleans, witness Anthony Davis. You can be a stud in Indianapolis, witness Paul George. But I do agree when it comes to free agent destinations, usually large markets, big media, big attention is where these guys go. And Utah could be, should be a destination. And would have been cool to see Gordon Hayward stay. Could you imagine Donovan Mitchell, Gordon Hayward, Rudy Gobert, and that crew with Quinn Snyder, who is a great coach, although always looks like he's coming off a 3-day bender. But I agree. Yeah, there's something to that. Here's where I would disagree on Kevin Durant not being the best player on the Warriors. Yes, in a vacuum, they won without Kevin Durant. So in some ways, Durant needed the Warriors more than they needed him. I would agree with that. But if you took Kevin Durant off of this team right now, versus if you took anybody else off of this team. He's the best basketball player they have. As great as Steph Curry is and a two-time MVP, right now Kevin Durant's a better basketball player, night in, night out, when he is properly motivated, wants to, and feels comfortable inside that offense. Now, maybe that is a part of the knock against him, but in terms of all-time great, when all is said and done and his career is over, Kevin Durant will be looked at as a greater player than Steph Curry. But I totally understand why he doesn't get the appropriate love that Steph does, the equal love that Steph does in Golden State. Steph was the guy that started this, that was the spark. He was there before they were great. Kevin Durant joins after they win. You know, you remember your first car fondly, especially if that car was something you saved up a lot of money for and you worked a lot of jobs for and you saved away for. And then that second car, even if it's way nicer, you kind of forget about it. It doesn't have that same sentimentality. That's what is happening here. Warriors fans saved up forever. They were terrible and still selling out Oracle. They were terrible saving up for that Toyota Corolla. And then that Corolla got them cross country after they graduated college. And they've got all these great pictures and memories and stories. Facebook wall lit up with those pictures and memories. And then they happened to be gifted a brand new Lamborghini. And they were like, cool, this is awesome. This car goes fast. Wow. But it's not the same as the Corolla. It's just not the same. And Durant will never be the sentimental favorite in Golden State because he wasn't there first. He gravy trained after the championships, even though he's a better player than the rest of those guys. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number if you want to dial in. 855-212-4CBS. Also on Twitter, get at me, DA on CBS. John tweets, man, I did not realize how much I missed you and Bart together, DA. Bart Scott joined us at the end of last hour, and if you missed that, woo boy, you missed a couple of seven-second delays that had to be utilized. But I would highly encourage you to check out that interview when we post it following the show on both iTunes, our website, cbssportsradio.com, and on YouTube, because it was, as they say, a humdinger. We spanned everything with Bart. I mean, everything. Paulie and Indy tweeting, DA, has Bart been drinking this morning? Good God, he's loose. No, that's just Bart being Bart. We always like to have a joke around here. He has joined me on my show weekly throughout the football season the last couple of years. And when he was on TV, we said, there's a weekend Bart, and then there's a weekday Bart. You guys got weekday Bart. You had probably only seen weekend Bart on Sundays on CBS, which, hey, that is an institution. Got to play it tight, button up. I don't blame him. You've seen Jim Rome on that show as well. That is a very professional show and an institution in sports media and NFL media. Bart's a little better when he's allowed to color outside the lines. This might be a better medium for him. That was phenomenal. Bart went out and said that 60% of the NFL is on PEDs. 60, not 16, 6-0. Although one of those PEDs he said was Viagra, so take it for what it's worth. When we come back here on the show, speaking of the NFL, the Cowboys simply cannot stop being the Cowboys. I'll explain coming up next and jump back into your phone calls. Damon Amendola, DA in for Jim today. You can usually catch me preceding Rome on many of these same CBS Sports radio stations, and we're simulcast today on the CBS Sports Network. If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology is three times stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity. Breakdown is tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VIS grade. It helps fight friction and delivers outstanding level of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Damon Amendola, DA in for Romy today. You could usually catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. And as always, the Jim Rome Show is simulcast on CBS Sports Network, so check us out on TV there. I mentioned this earlier last hour. Why am I hearing Dennis Rodman not only comment on geopolitics, but also cry during it?
I got so many death threats when I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home. But I kept my head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change. I knew it. I was the only one. I never had no one to hear me. I didn't know one had to see me.
Audio courtesy of CNN. There are moments that we all look at what has happened in politics over the last 5, 6, 7 years and wonder if this really could be reality or a reality show. Is this really happening? But then you hear Dennis Rodman cry and sound like Hulk Hogan about the North Korea summit, and you realize it's going to be just fine. Oh, we'll be just fine. Keep sports clean. Keep politics out of sports. I wouldn't mind keeping sports out of politics as well. Can we get that passed? Oh, yeah, just checking out how the North Korean summit is going. Oh, wait, there's Rodman crying and sounding like a wrestler from the 80s. Okay, guess this is going well. On our affiliate in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan this week, Deion Sanders was discussing whether the Dallas Cowboys should come crawling back to Dez Bryant. Dez is still a free agent.
Okay, let's let bygones be bygones. Let's just apologize and say, Dez, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Come on back. You didn't know Jason Witten was getting ready to do this. You didn't know this knucklehead is getting ready to do what he did and got out the car and run out of Lamborghini. Who leaves the scene of the crime with a Lamborghini? That means something was foul, okay? That's what you know. Let bygones be bygones. Bring the dude back, and let's move on.
The greatest thing about the Dallas Cowboys is that they can't stop being the Dallas Cowboys. As we all know, Jerry Jones is known for speaking too much. Never met a microphone he didn't like. Can't stop speaking. You know that classmate that just had diarrhea of the mouth? Oh, man, you could just stop talking about how dysfunctional your family is like right now. Oh, that's TMI. Have you ever followed somebody on Facebook and you're like, why are you putting that on Facebook? That's Jerry Jones. Do you really need to put that on Facebook, Jerry? And so the Dallas Cowboys operate in this sphere. They just can't stop being, in their mind, really honest, really transparent, really talky. Ever been on a date, maybe a first date, and you just start trying to tell a story or try to relate to the date, and then you realize, oh my God, I sound like an idiot. I've said too much. This is the Cowboys all of the time. Here's why it's going to be hard to go back to Dez Bryant. It's because they openly smashed him on the way out the door. When they released him, Cowboys VP of player personnel, Will McClay, said, quote, simply it was the inability to win one-on-one and win downfield. There was inconsistency as well as some huge things in his play. So what's best is moving forward for us without Dez. It's a production-based business, end of quote. Well, now Jason Witten retired, and Terrence Williams is a weirdo, and then you realize, maybe Dez would be good here, but what do you do now? This is a fight with your ex where you're like, you're a drunk! You steal money! Your mom's crazy! I never loved you! And then you find yourself single, and you look around going, she wasn't that bad. God, I said some bad things. I think we burned the bridge. That's the Cowboys. You know, if you are the New England Patriots, this is why you just don't say anything. The best course of business right now for our organization is moving on without Dez Bryant. We wish him the best. You know, Dez is a really good football player, but I'm here to talk about the players that we have right now. And you get killed in the moment because the media and the fans want answers. Why would you release Dez? What's the reason? We need the reason, Bill. Why do you do this, Bill? Why are you trading away Randy Moss? Or why aren't you re-signing Wes Welker? Or why are you trading Logan Mankins? Or why didn't you start a player you believe could win a Super Bowl at cornerback when it mattered most? Why? Why wasn't Malcolm Butler in the game? And you just don't answer. And you don't give answers there, even though it placates your crowd, but that also keeps the door open for never having to go back on what you said. What are the Cowboys going to do? Let's text or call Dez, and let's just say what Will said, we didn't really mean. You know, the whole thing about how you can't win one-on-one battles anymore and how you're bad downfield and it's a production business and you don't produce anymore and it's inconsistency. All that stuff, we didn't really mean that. Maybe one day the Cowboys stop being the Cowboys, but not on this day. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Rob's in the Bay Area in California. What's going on, Rob?
How you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I am great. I just want to weigh in on the whole KD situation. I just want to really say that, you know, he is a great player, but he was a great scorer. He was a great player, great scorer with OKC, and they couldn't get it done. And so, you know, I don't want pure NBA fan, the narrative should never change when it talks about him being a champion because, you know, amongst the greats who's won it, Bird, Magic, Kareem, Michael Jordan, and so forth, his name should never be mentioned in that group ever because of what he did. You know, I mean, I understand you talk to Warrior fans and they say, well, he could do what he wants. That's true. But because because he couldn't do it, when he had three opportunities to beat the Warriors and couldn't do it, then you join them. That should never. That should be like an asterisk associated with his name. Anytime his name comes up, when it comes to talking about championships.
Look, Rob, I agree with you. I don't think you can put Kevin Durant as great as he has been the last 2 years of the NBA Finals. I do not think you can put him in that conversation ever, because he joins a team that didn't need him to win a championship. Certainly he proved his mettle in those finals. But the Warriors did not need him to win a championship. They didn't need him to win 73 games. They're a win away at home in Game 7 without him, of being back-to-back champs and having the greatest season ever. I agree. Kevin Durant was not necessary for the Warriors to be great. And that is the ultimate misfortune, which always leaves us all so dissatisfied. I'm watching the NBA Finals. I love the NBA. I've always enjoyed watching Kevin Durant. I appreciate the pattern and the flow and the rhythm that offensively the Warriors play with. But it's so dissatisfying because what's more interesting is seeing how the Warriors would have reacted to losing the NBA Finals if it was only them. And what would Kevin Durant have done without the Warriors? Together, this is not interesting. Apart, it's way more interesting. Would the Warriors have imploded and been a two-year wonder? Would they have started eating themselves? In other words, friction, chemistry gone bad. Would Steph Curry have been able to put the offense on his back? Would Klay have been demanded to be more, do more? Kevin Durant, had he stayed in Oklahoma City, could he have figured it out with Russell Westbrook? It feels like he has truly elevated his game, especially in big moments. Would he have learned that in a different place? What happens if Kevin Durant had to carry the offensive load every single night? What happens if he went back home to D.C. and played with John Wall and Bradley Beal? Could he have elevated that franchise to a championship? There are so many more interesting questions that could have been answered had they not been married than when they did get married. And yes, because of which, his place in history is going to be awkward, because he'll be great. He'll be a quote-unquote all-time great. But you'll never truly know what his potential was without having a great team around him. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll continue getting your thoughts on the offseason of the NBA. as the Warriors have said, we will break the bank for Kevin Durant to give him whatever he wants. There is no negotiation. Also, we'll ask this question to a guy that's seen the Chicago Bulls dynasty up close and personal. B.J. Armstrong was part of the first three titles with the Bulls and Michael Jordan. He also played for the Warriors. We'll get his thoughts coming up here next on the questions we've been discussing today. Plus, you guys on the phones, Damon Amendolara, D.A. in for Jim here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network. And Rich Ackerman has your headlines.
Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
And a good Tuesday to you. You can usually catch me before Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. We are simulcast today, as always, Rome on CBS Sports Network. So check it out in sparkling high definition on your television set. We'll jump back into your phone calls, clones, coming up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. We've been discussing the NBA's offseason. Bob Myers of the Warriors has given away any leverage he may have had with Kevin Durant, basically saying we want to give him whatever he wants. There's not going to be a negotiation. But if you're the Warriors, why not? You've got a good thing rolling. Joining us on the show is a three-time NBA champion, played with the Chicago Bulls in the first three-peat of their dynasty, a teammate alongside Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen for those titles. He's now an agent in the NBA, including representing Draymond Green. B.J. Armstrong joining us here on the show. B.J., how you doing?
I'm doing very well, and how are you guys doing? Seems like you got a lot of topics to discuss today.
Yeah, man. You know, sometimes in June after the basketball season is over, it can be a dead time, but not with the NBA. It feels like it's NBA news 24/7, 365, and now it's the summer of LeBron and the summer of all this free agency stuff. I want to talk to you about your client Draymond, because he openly spoke about taking less to keep the Warriors together a couple of years ago. In representing him, what was the story behind it? What was Draymond's perspective on this?
Well, you know, I think with Draymond, you know, I haven't had a chance to, I don't know if something was written or what have you.
Well, he said, quote, "I took less so that we could go after KD." He said, "I'm a student of the game and I studied the business side to it." So him saying he took less so that they could go after KD, what was your thought during those negotiations when he told you that?
Well, my thought has always been the same with all of the clients, and you know, having a perspective as a former player, working in the front office as an executive, and now doing what I'm doing as an agent. You know, the one thing is success, and you know, what is success? Everything that you're going to achieve, you know, individually, collectively, and because we are in a team framework, is going to be achieved with winning. And to Draymond's credit, he has maintained his focus from day one since he arrived in this league from Michigan State, that winning has been priority number one, two, and three for him. And when you win and you have success within a group, right? Because all the people that we're discussing here, the team, whether it's the owner, whether it's the general manager, whether it's the head coach, whether it's the players, and those are the four pillars.
Sounds like we may have lost
Draymond.
We'll take BJ off the air right now and then get him back to a better line. Sounds like he got zapped, which can happen. Cell towers, especially the cell towers dressed like trees. Can't always trust them. But BJ is back with us. And BJ, just pick up where you left off talking about those conversations with Draymond and his desire to win.
Yeah, like I was saying, I think we got cut off here. Is, you know, Draymond has maintained his focus of winning, and that's been his priority since he came into this league. And to his credit, he understands that. He understands group dynamics and his leadership, and what he's been able to do is to lead by example. And so he understands that, you know what, when we win, everyone wins. And so he's done that, and, you know, like I said, I give him all the credit for that.
When he's eventually a free agent, is he going to seek a max deal, or would he do that again with the Warriors and say, I won't take market value because I want to remain with a winner?
Well, that's an interesting question. And I say it's interesting because, you know, at some point here, you know, when that time arrives, I think we will have that discussion. You know, right now he is kind of enthralled in the moment. And what he's going to do, I think, a couple years from now, who knows? Who knows how that will play itself out? But I think at this moment, he is elated with the Warriors, where they're at as a group, where they're at as a team, and to see the direction of the team. You know, what is Kevin Durant going to do? What is, you know, what's the direction of the Warriors? And I think that will all be laid out here, you know, very quickly over the summer. So, you know, I've been around long enough to know, hey, I have no idea what they're going to do. I have no idea how things are going to play itself out. So trying to predict that, you know, what that's going to look like 2 years from now, I think is remote at this point. But right now I can assure you that what they've been able to achieve over the last 4 years, getting to the finals, winning three of the last four, I think speaks for itself. And then all the other stuff will take care of itself.
B.J. Armstrong joins us, of course, a three-time champion of the NBA, now an EVP, managing executive with the Wasserman Agency, joining us here on the Jim Rome Show. D.A. in for Jim today. This feels like the summer of LeBron because he's got a decision to make. You played alongside Michael Jordan. I'm sure you have thoughts on comparing LeBron and Michael. Seems like everybody does this all of the time. What's your thoughts on looking at the two legacies of those two guys, considering you played with one up close and personal for three titles?
You know, I think it's a lot of fun because, you know, we live in a day and age, especially now with the analytics, and you look at numbers, right? This guy averaged, you know, 30, this guy averaged 31, so they must be similar players. But, you know, when I look at it technically as an ex-player and I look at the details of it, they're very different players. You know, what Michael did for his team and the way he played in his era is completely different with LeBron and what he does for his team in this era. So, you know, I look at them, I see the obvious, which is they're both wing players. They're both very dominant in the era. And you know what? I'm going to admire this young man, LeBron, what he's been able to do on the court. I also had an opportunity to see Michael Jordan play with Michael Jordan, play against Michael Jordan. And I understand what he did as a player. You know, it's so different because I'm asking them to do two different things. You're not comparing apples with apples here. You're comparing a player who, in LeBron, who's more of a facilitator, who initiates, who does things, and he still has a huge impact on the game. But Michael Jordan was a completely different player. Michael Jordan was a finisher. Michael Jordan was a predominant scorer. He was a dominant defensive player, and he did things just a different way. You know, when I look at the two, I say they're different players. And so, if the fun thing would be is to take one player from his era, Jordan, and let him see what he would do in this era with the scoring and all the things and the pace of the game. And it would be fun to see LeBron James with his physicality, you know, how big and strong he was, how he would have fit in that era. That would be fun to me. Trying to compare these two guys now in different eras, I'm just going to do what all fans do at this point. I'm just going to admire it. But I don't really see the comparison when you really break their games down.
It would be nice if all fans did just admire LeBron James right now, but unfortunately that's not the case.
Absolutely. I
mean, there's so much hate for LeBron.
And that's where, yeah. And as an ex-player, I just want to admire what he brings to the game. I mean, he's a very unique player. He's had a lot of success on the floor, but, you know, you start comparing, you know, Jordan. You know, Jordan was just a different player. His mindset was different. So, and it's not to take away anything from any player now or any player in the future, but, you know, Michael Jordan was a different player. And, you know, I understood that. I saw that. And I just want to admire this young man, what he's been able to achieve in his generation, because he is this generation's best player.
B.J. Armstrong joins us here on the show, three-time NBA champion with the Chicago Bulls. You were part of that team before you guys got over the hump and were losing to the Detroit Pistons. That must have driven a maniacally competitive guy like Michael Jordan up a wall. In year two, you got over the Pistons and won your first championship in 1991. what was it like to be alongside Michael and see him lose before he won? What was that like up close?
Well, you know, back in those days, the torch was always passed, right? You know, you passed the torch. And I remember, you know, sitting there thinking, okay, what is it that we could do against a team like the Detroit Pistons? The Detroit Pistons were a far superior team at that point of all of our careers, right? They have great individual players. I wasn't the player personally that Isaiah Thomas was. So, you know, check for the Detroit Pistons. Joe Dumars was a Hall of Fame level two guard. Maybe wasn't at the level of Jordan, but Joe Dumars at any given moment was capable of scoring 35 or 40 points in a playoff game. That was a great matchup. You had Bill Laimbeer, you had Bill Cartwright, you had Scottie Pippen. Really wasn't Scottie Pippen at that point of his career, but he was up and coming. You know, they had Mark Aguirre. So they had a great, great team. And the one thing that we had on our side, which is we had the best player, but they had the best team. And it took us, you know, some years to figure out that until we had the best team, our best player wasn't going to beat that best, the best team. So to Michael Jordan's credit, he was the one who initiated the mindset. You know, he initiated and said, I got to do something different so that my team is playing at the same level as that team, and then my talent will be the X factor when you put team versus team. And I think that's the sophistication of how he approached the game, because his talent wasn't going to beat that team. And Michael Jordan, I think, took him some years, took him 2 or 3 years to go through this process to realize how to incorporate his superior individual talent within the framework of a team. And I don't care what system you run. We just happen to have ran a system called the triangle offense that's been well documented. But you can run any system, whether it's what watching Steve Kerr right now, system is the same principles of any other system, ball movement, player movement. You can do that with San Antonio system. So every great team has had a system of play in place, and whatever that system is, because it's all predicated on the same. If you have one guy open, you got to pass him the ball. If you're on the weak side of the offense, then you got to have player movement to occupy the defense so they can't load up on you. So whatever the system is, incorporate your system. But it's very important that a great individual talent, if he's going to be the best player on the best team, he has to figure out how to incorporate his individual talent so that his talent now becomes the X factor when you get down to the last 3 or 4 minutes of a game, because his talent should be the one that pushes you over the edge.
BJ Armstrong joins us, 3-time NBA champion, now EVP and managing executive of the Wasserman Agency. We've only got about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you quickly, do you ever get in Draymond's ear and tell him to calm down emotionally or try to stay within himself? Because sometimes it feels like he's out of control and he could be more effective if he stays within that. Do you try to advise him that way?
No, I don't. I learned that as a player myself. You know, and the one thing about when you are dealing with people, right? You always want, it's one thing as a player that you bring to the game that you're responsible with. You're always responsible for the effort that you bring to the court, and you're responsible for bringing the energy that's necessary to not only compete in that game, but try to win that game. Draymond Green is never short of effort. Draymond Green is never short of energy. And when you find that player who brings effort and energy every single game, then it's important that you ask that player to do one thing. Take that effort and energy and direct it towards one thing, which is winning. We can't say anything about Draymond Green's effort or energy every night. Some players, you have to motivate them to get them ready to play. That's not the case with Draymond. So for me to ask Draymond to tone it down would take away from what he brings naturally to the game. He is incredible. He understands that. Under no circumstance would I ever ask Draymond Green to tone it down, because how many players actually bring the effort and energy necessary every night?
BJ Armstrong joining us here on the show. BJ, fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for dropping on by. Very, very insightful. DA in for Jim today. When we come back, LeBron in Boston, could it be?